Hello and hi, thank you very much, Sharon. Hello everyone, happy Wednesday. I think I'm going to talk about intuition today. It seems to be coming up a lot around me. Seeing people who, might need some guidance, could be helped by some guidance on how to tune into intuition. And so I thought that today would be a good day just to talk about that. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be using some websites just to kind of guide me in my talking. I haven't looked at these websites yet, to be honest. So if there's something on the website that I don't agree with, I'll say that. And if there's something that I do agree with, I'll say that. And I'll add anything I have to add. But just to kind of give me something to guide me as I speak. And the first website that I'm going to use today is called, a lady named Anna Sace, it looks like. Let me give a link in the room. the website, if you're on the radio, is psychicbutsane.com. P-S-Y-C-H-I-C-B-U-T-S-A-N-E. Psychicbutsane.com. And somehow I found a page of hers on intuition. So if you happen to go to that website, you'll then want to find her page on intuition. In the room, I am posting a direct link to the page on intuition. It's called Intuition 101 on Psychic But Sane. And as I scroll down and I look at her website, I noticed that she has listed some secrets or two keys in recognizing intuition or some secrets about how to manage intuition. And you'll see where there's a bolded question. She says, so how do intuitives ever manage to know which is which? You know, what is real intuition and what is the stuff you shouldn't listen to, what we call ego? What is their secret? And Anna says, the first secret is this. They, meaning intuitives, are not terribly attached to what is real intuitive input and what is not in the beginning. In the beginning, they don't beat themselves up about possibly getting it wrong or agonizing over whether that feeling they have is really from their higher self or not. That should not be your focus if you're a beginner at hearing spiritual guidance. Instead, just begin by exploring the spirit world and then I'll go on in just a moment. I want to stop right there. So her first tip again is that intuitives are not terribly attached to what is real intuitive input and what is not in the beginning. And I want to say I agree with that 100%. 100%. In fact, I've given that advice myself many, many times. What I notice is that when people are really beginning to learn to listen to intuition instead of the mind or the conditioning that they've always listened to, there is definitely a fear. What if I'm wrong? What if I'm listening to the wrong voice? And the funny thing is that fear can keep you from even trying. And if you never try, how are you gonna learn? How are you gonna become master? You know, when I was a kid, we always had a basketball hoop out in the backyard. Every house we moved to, my dad always put a basketball hoop up. Always there, my whole life. And I think I went out once and maybe once and tried shooting a basket and didn't make it. And, you know, my unworthiness kicked in and I thought, oh my God, I'll never be good at this. And I never tried again. And of course, I never became good at basketball. It's easy. Now, of course, we all know that even though I missed that first shot, if I kept making shots, I may have missed many, many more. But we all know that eventually I would have started making shots. And if I kept playing, I would have got better and better and better. And, you know, probably could have ended up being a fairly decent basketball player, right? Because I had the opportunity to practice 2 hours every day of my life if I wanted to. So the interesting thing is that fear, you know, what if You know, I listened to the wrong voice. What if I don't make a basket? It can keep us from even trying. So in the beginning, if you are learning to listen to intuition instead of your mind, what you want to do is just do your best. And then learn from that. You will learn as you go. I teach a class called True Discernment in the Minister Preparation Program. And in that class, we teach some primary obstacles to intuition. One of those primary obstacles is, I call it your I am bad belief. It's your unworthiness. And everybody, until that idea is healed within people, everybody has that idea. And unworthiness gets in the way of following guidance or following intuition in a number of ways. One is there's a belief, of course, still in some kind of a person God that can judge you. And there's a belief that if you make the wrong choice, somehow this person God is going to be upset with you. But that's just, there's just no truth to that whatsoever. That's as true as, you know, Santa Claus is watching, he's going to put you on the naughty list. You know, there's just no truth to that at all. There is no type of person God whatsoever. And there is no judgment in what God is at all. So the only one who might judge you for making a mistake is you. And if you are learning to follow intuition, you probably will make mistakes. I know I did. And if you judge yourself for making those mistakes, you're obviously going to feel terrible. But I actually think mistakes are one of the best ways to learn intuition. And I mean that wholeheartedly and sincerely. I'm not just saying it. Because as you make a mistake, there's an intuition for you to, you know, do something or not do something or say something or not say something, and you don't listen to it, right? And you do something different. And then you see the results and you realize, oh, that was a mistake. I should have listened to, you know, that other feeling I had. That's actually a great way to tune into that feeling that you had that you didn't listen to. You kind of look back and you go, oh, that's, you know, I remember I felt this. And I didn't listen to it. And now I can see why that was important. And you kind of get a feeling for what it felt like. Because the one thing that no one can teach you, no one on the planet Earth, you know, I might sit here and talk about intuition for 2 hours. And I might share a lot of helpful things. But I'm not going to be able to teach you what intuition feels like. In fact, I think it was Myron Jones that shared this example with me many years ago. I thought it was really funny. Myron said, you know, it's like when you're potty training a kid. You know, you can teach a kid that, you know, when that urge is coming and they need to potty, that they need to go to the potty, and, you know, and when they make a mistake, you can, you know, tell them where they should have gone, and when they go to the right place, you can praise them. But you cannot teach them what that urge feels like, I have to pee. There's just no way. They have to recognize that urge, I have to pee or I have to poop. Myself, you know, they have to recognize that within themselves, and then they know to go to the potty. Well, it's the same thing with intuition. I can share a lot of tips, but I can't teach you what that feels like, what intuition feels like. But I'll tell you what, your mistakes can. Your mistakes are your greatest teacher in teaching you what it feels like. Because you can then look back on that feeling and kind of and say, oh yeah, I did feel that. I see now what that was. And so there's no reason to judge yourself for your mistakes. Mistakes are a part of learning. Mistakes are a part of tuning into intuition. And so in that way, you can truly celebrate your mistakes. So to not even try because you're afraid you're going to make a mistake, you're going to afraid that you're going to listen to the wrong voice, you know, that just keeps you from ever being an intuitive, as she's calling it on her website, an intuitive, just like I never became a basketball player. So in the beginning, you're going to do your best to tune into what is intuition, to try and find what that is. And you might even feel like you have no idea. Some people tell me they have no idea what intuition is. Well, then that's where you're starting. And you're going to do your best, and you're probably going to make a lot of mistakes. But if you keep trying, especially if you pay attention to your mistakes, you are going to learn. You're going to learn from making mistakes. The next thing that she has on her website, she says, instead, just begin by exploring the spirit world and by becoming open to all signs and input. Now, I do have something to say about that tip. That tip is good, and that tip is not good. It's both. Let me first talk about how that tip is not good. If there is an answer that you want to see, you will see that answer. I had someone staying with me once who was kind of, you know, addicted to channelers, addicted to, psychics, addicted to, you know, these outside people that could tell him what move to make next. And when he came and stayed with me in New London, North Carolina, we didn't have any of those things around, and yet he still had this addiction. And he started looking for ways to satisfy that feel-good that he got from that addiction with psychics and such. So he started looking for ways to feel good, get somebody that could help him to feel good. He needed a fix, to be honest. And so what would happen is we'd be driving down the street and he would see a sign for a masseuse, or he would see a sign for an acupuncturist, and he'd say, "That's guidance. That sign just popped out at me. We need to stop. I need to get a massage. We need to stop. I need to get acupuncture." And I knew it wasn't guidance. I knew that this was just the best way he could satisfy his fix in New London, North Carolina. But I never said anything. You know, it's truly not my job to correct people, so I would stop. And, you know, Jasmine was often with us in the car, and she and I would, you know, go somewhere and get a drink while he got his spontaneous massage. And so she saw this happening, and, you know, I never said anything to her about it. But she was young at the time, and one of the things she wanted to do was go to Disney World. So one day we're watching TV, and a commercial comes on for Disney World, and she goes, Mom, it's guidance. We're supposed to go to Disney World. You know, I know she learned that from observing him, you know, oh, it's guidance. So one thing you have to be careful about is that you don't want to see something in particular. Because if you want to see something in particular, you will. And you'll call it guidance. And really all that's happening is you're still following your mental desires, right? That if you really truly want to learn to follow intuition, you know, intuition that's from beyond the personal, well, then one thing you have to do is you have to let go of wanting a specific outcome or wanting a specific answer. So that's my first comment on Anna's second tip about becoming open to all signs and input. Hold on just one second. My second comment on Anna's tip is that if you are able to be truly open, to let go of wanting to see a specific answer, you know, the answer can come from anywhere. You could hear a line in a song and know that that's the answer that you've been waiting for. You could hear, you know, someone teaching in Pal Talk and something they say is the answer. You could read something in a book. A friend could say something to you. There was a time when I had an enormous amount of fear, This was way back when I was guided to quit my job and move from my home in Massachusetts to North Carolina. And I had put my house on the market, and it sold the first day. My daughter was in a school that was so good, she had to win a lottery to get into the school. And I had already told them she wouldn't be there next year, so I'd already surrendered her slot in that school. I'd already given my notice to my job that I was leaving. And I drove down to North Carolina to look for a house. And I spent 3 days with a realtor there, and I really could not find anything in my price range that was at all acceptable. You know, it all needed major work, like had roof damage or something like that. And once I put all my money into the house, I wouldn't have had the money for the repairs. So there was just nothing that was at all acceptable. And after 3 days of looking at houses, this fear set in that I had really, really, really screwed up. Because I had had a good job in Massachusetts. My daughter was in one of the best schools in the nation. I had a nice house in a nice neighborhood. I mean, I had this nice life. And now I had, you know, thrown it all away because of some voice in my head, some spiritual voice in my head. And I got extremely fearful. I really thought I'd screwed up. I mean, I don't know how to say that loud enough. I really thought that I had made the biggest mistake in my life by believing, in fact, the language in my mind at the time was by believing all this spiritual crap. And so I'm laying in bed in all of this fear. And all of a sudden a thought comes into my mind. Now this thought was from something I had read. It was from a book. It's from a book called it's Peace Pilgrim. I can't remember the name of her book, but it's her book. And the thought that came into my mind was, the ego knows the weakest spot in your armor. And as soon as I heard that thought, I understood what was happening. I was having what you would call an ego attack, or what I call an ego attack. Some people might call it a panic attack. Because ego knew that financial security and a nice home to live in was important to me. And now that was being threatened, and ego was taking advantage of it. You know, the thoughts in the mind that do not want us to awaken was taking advantage of it, you know, by encouraging me to leave the spiritual path entirely and return to my old life. And so when I heard that, I then said a prayer. And I said, you know, Holy Spirit, you know, I'm too fearful to really hear you in my mind right now. But I need help. I'm going to open the course. Please, please, please let me open to exactly what I need to read right now. And then I opened the course randomly. And I opened up to the section that talked about anything you value in this world can and will hurt you. And that was the perfect section for me to read right then. Because I realized that was the weakest spot in my armor. That's what ego was attacking. I valued security. I valued having a nice home to live in. Right? And so that value was hurting me right now. And so again, I said, okay, I understand. I understand what's going on. I still didn't know how to recover. But then I felt, you know, Jasmine was observing this, and she was getting uncomfortable. And I felt like I needed to do something to help her feel better. So we went outside, and I laid a blanket on the lawn. I was at my brother's house. I laid a blanket on the lawn, and I started making up stories and telling her stories. And while I was laying there on the lawn with Jasmine, a friend came by. And this is a friend I hadn't seen since high school. A long time since I've seen this friend. And he came up, and you know, immediately you could tell I was in so much fear, you could see it. And so he asked me what was wrong. And I told him, you know, I told him the story in a brief way. And then he said to me, he said, Regina, there's nothing wrong. You just don't know that yet. And I swear to you, that was Holy Spirit talking to me through a guy that I had a crush on 25 years ago. Regina, there's nothing wrong. You just don't know that yet. I totally realized that things were going to work out, but I was in that gap in between. And because I didn't know how they were going to work out, I was freaking out. But the fact that I was in the gap in between didn't mean it wasn't going to work out. And long story short, of course, it did work out. I did end up getting a lovely home and lived there, you know, happily. And, you know, there's never been any problem. But look, there's three different ways intuition came to me, even in that fear. Three different ways intuition came to me to guide me. The first way intuition came to me is a sentence I read in a book. And, you know, people, I have had someone say to me once, you know, I keep asking for guidance, but all I get are these sentences from A Course in Miracles showing up in my head. That's one way intuition comes. That's one way intuition comes. But sometimes people discount that because they think it's supposed to be a completely unique new idea they've never read anywhere. And if it's something they read somewhere before, they think that must not be it. It's not a matter of the form. It's a matter of its applicability to the situation. And you can tell that sentence that came into my mind from Peace Pilgrim, "The ego knows the weakest spot in your armor," that was fully applicable to the situation. That sentence came at exactly the right time. That was intuition, or what we call Holy Spirit. And that also began to turn me around when I listened to it. That was the beginning, instead of me going down, 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 further into that hell, that was the beginning of me starting to come back out again, because then I realized, oh, this is an ego attack. And then I knew to ask for help. Until then, I wasn't even asking for help. I was just believing the crap in my mind. I was just believing that I had screwed up, that I had ruined my life and my daughter's life. But once that thought came, you know, a memory from a book I read, I knew, oh, wait a minute, there's something else happening here. I'm under ego attack. And then I knew to ask for help. And again, because my mind was so loud, I didn't really feel that I could, you know, hear Holy Spirit in my mind. So I asked, please, please, please. I just really said it that way. Please, please, please. Let me open this book to exactly what I need to read now. And that happened. So the second way intuition spoke to me was through a random opening of a book. Hold on one second. Jamie wants in. I'll be right back. And then the third way that intuition spoke to me that day was through my friend that I hadn't seen in 25 years, you know, with that one sentence, "Regina, there's nothing wrong. You just don't know it yet." That sentence allowed me to put all of my fear behind me and return to trust. I still didn't know the answer, but I knew somehow, some way it would work out. That allowed me to put it all behind me. So when Anna says you want to become open to all signs and input, again, if you aren't looking for a specific answer, if you're just being open, in that way, I agree. You know, what intuition has to tell you can come in a large number of ways, a bumper sticker, right? You know, just anything. And so you have to be open, but you do have to take the warning of not looking for something specific. Because you'll see that too. Let's see. Anna's next tip. Let's continue on. She says, we can begin to see life as we would analyze a dream that's rich in symbolism. Let's see. I think I'm going to continue past that. I don't feel to stop there. Okay, she says, so this is how you activate your intuition, by expanding your view of what you notice inside you and outside you. This is how you activate your intuition, by expanding your view of what you notice inside you and outside you. Again, I kind of agree and kind of don't. I'll give you another example. I have a friend who recently I've recently talked to her. she, you know, is really not happy in her life, although she hides it well. She pretends to be happy. She really, really isn't. Life feels heavy for her. She always feels guilty. She always feels like she's doing the wrong thing. And although, to be honest, she didn't ask me for help, this was incredibly obvious to me. And so I invited myself into it, and she accepted the invitation, which is good. You know, I told her that I saw the guilt in every sentence that she spoke. And so, I asked her to do a little bit of journaling and share her journaling with me, and she did. And what I saw from her journaling, when I read her journaling, was that she is spending her entire life trying to please others. She's always guessing at their, you know, if they aren't telling her directly what they want, she's always guessing at what they want. Now, I'm not going to tell you who. I'm just talking about a person. I'm not mentioning who. you know, she's always guessing at what people want, and she's always trying to please other people. And this is what's really causing her heaviness and her sense of guilt all the time. So I talked to her about, you know, she needs to learn to follow her intuition, right? Instead of what she thinks other people need. Now, oh yes, I'm reading Anna. Now what Anna just said was that you need to expand your view of what you notice inside and outside of you. Well, if I was to give that particular piece of advice to this person right now, it would take her further into trying to guess what people wanted from her, because that's kind of her addiction or her conditioning. If I told her to expand what she notices on the outside, she would expand her looking to try and figure out even better what other people want. So in her particular case, the guidance is forget about the outside. Forget about everyone else and everything else. What you need to do is learn to tune into that feeling within you. And the language I use with her is, what is the current motivation? What are you just feeling motivated to do from within yourself? And I did talk to her about, I'm not talking about what does the mind want, because that's different. You know, it's as if intuition is, intuition is in between the two. On one side, there's what everybody else wants from her. And on the other side, there's what she wants. Intuition is in the middle. Intuition is not about what I want, and intuition isn't about what they want. Intuition is actually impersonal. But there is a motivation with it, a motivation that comes, a movement. For example, let me get a drink of water and then I'll share another story. For example, last Saturday, my boyfriend and my daughter were going to play racquetball at the club. And as soon as I heard they were going to play racquetball, I felt to spend that time working in the yard. You know, spring is coming and there's a lot of cleanup that needs to happen. The lawn needed to be mowed. Fertilizing needed to happen. There's a lot of work that needed to happen in the yard. So I felt to do that. And when I mentioned to my boyfriend that that's what I was going to do, he was disappointed. And he wanted me to come with them to the club and then run, you know, he wanted to do some other things afterwards without having to come back home and pick me up. And so he wanted me to go. And so I said, okay, you know, I'll do that. And I went in and I started packing my workout bag. And as I started packing my workout bag, it was like I couldn't. Like I couldn't even think of what to put in the bag to take to the gym. I couldn't feel whether I would swim or whether I would do weights or what I would do, what kind of stuff to take. I felt like I was walking in circles in my bedroom, not knowing what to grab and what to put in the bag. And there was also just this heavy, heavy, heaviness that settled down over me. And I realized, you know, this isn't what the universe is motivating me to do. And so I went back out and I told him, I said, I'm sorry. I said, I really just need to stay home and work in the yard. And of course he was disappointed, you know, because that's not what he wanted. But he, you know, went on. And then I was highly motivated in the yard. I mean, just all the energy of the universe came and I accomplished so much work in that couple of hours. Now, if you ask me, is that what I wanted to do, what Regina wanted to do? The truth is I never even thought to stop and ask, what do I want? I can't honestly say I wanted to clean the yard. I mean, in fact, probably if we were really to bring Regina into it, no friggin' way. Regina does not like that kind of work at all. No friggin' way I want to clean the yard. But that's how the universe was motivating me. You see, the universe has a way of providing a motivation. This morning I sent an email. I was, you know, motivated to send an email, and it was a pretty long email. I had to look up several different links to put in it and stuff like that. So it literally took me 45 minutes to compose this email and send it. And then after the email, I felt to just sit there for about 10 minutes and do nothing. And then the motivation came to jump up and start taking a shower. And, you know, I have learned to be moved by that motivation. There's whether it's a motivation to do nothing, to just sit there for 10 minutes, or whether it's a motivation to do something. Yesterday afternoon, you know, I have a lot of people coming this week to my house in preparation for the Choose Again retreat. And one person was arriving yesterday. And, you know, there's the appearance of things that I needed to do to get ready. One of those things was go buy groceries, have food in the house for these people to eat. And around the time that the mind would have thought, okay, now it's time to go buy groceries, the motivation wasn't there. It wasn't there. In fact, the motivation was to sit down and begin writing the MPP course on NTI. So I sat down for, I don't know, an hour or so. I didn't really look at the clock. And I began, you know, contemplating NTI again, you know, for the 30th time, and began writing a course on NTI. And then all of a sudden, you know, when I thought, okay, I'm really into this, I really like this, the mind thinks I'm going to do this, I'm not even going to buy groceries today, well, it'll all work out. All of a sudden, the motivation came. Okay, no more motivation for NTI. It's like the motivation to work on NTI died, boom, and now there was motivation to go to the grocery store. You know, and all of it having absolutely nothing to do with the mind. So this friend of mine who is addicted to trying to please others, this is what I'm asking her to learn to tune into. What is your current motivation? Not what do you want, not moving into the selfish aspect of mind, but where is your motivation? What is your motivation? So I'm telling her, don't look outside. Because if she looks outside, she's going to be still trying to guess what everybody else wants from her. That's her conditioning. Don't look outside. Learn to feel. Also, as I mentioned about my previous friend who had desired outcomes and he would look outside and see particular signs, right, that he wanted to see. You know, if I had been counseling him, coaching him, I would have asked him to quit looking outside as well. So sometimes you need to become open to the outside, because I told you that, you know, my guidance from my friend, that was a sentence from my friend. Regina, there's nothing wrong yet. There's nothing wrong. You just don't know that yet. That was on the outside. And if I was thinking that all guidance had to come from within me, right, then I may have missed that sentence. So in a way, you have to be tuned out. But in a way, you have to be more tuned in. Again, as I mentioned at the beginning of this, I'm not going to be able to tell you how to feel intuition. This is something you're going to have to realize for yourself. You do have to be open to your answer coming in any form. That's the only way you need to be tuned out. You have to be open to your answer coming in any form. But for the most part, you have to be also willing to forget the world entirely. You kind of have to be willing to march to the beat of a different drummer. Let's see what else Anna has to say here. She says, rethink the distinction between intuition and non-intuition. Anna says, I prefer not to think of intuition as one thing and everything else as something to discard. I prefer to think in two categories. Input that is low vibrational, such as input from the ego or from a wounded inner self. An input that is spiritually high vibrational, which you might class as intuition. There is a difference between a low vibrational thought from your ego, such as you'll never manage to do that, and a higher vibrational thought which reassures you, which feels truthful and loving. You can feel the difference between the two energies. The low vibrational bad feeling thought makes you clam up and your body tense. The high vibrational good feeling thought gives you emotional relief and lets you breathe. So, I agree with that, learning to feel the difference between ego and, you know, what we call in this room Holy Spirit, what I'm calling intuition today. And it's not in the words. I have a friend who used to say, you know, Holy Spirit never corrects. Holy Spirit never corrects you. And that's not true. Holy Spirit has corrected me so many times. And I needed to be corrected because I was completely caught up in and believing ego. And that's what Holy Spirit corrected, right? Holy Spirit does correct us. Holy Spirit doesn't judge us. Ego judges us. So, you know, she's using an example here. A sentence. That sentence was, you'll never be able to do this. Well, that sentence, those exact words, could come from Holy Spirit or ego, to be honest. It's all about the feel behind the words. So if I'm trying to, you know, like this week I had to fill out a form for the IRS, and it was a difficult form. You know, a lot of contemplations had to happen. And if anybody read my story, you know, I electronically lost it twice and had to start all over again twice. So, you know, if ego in my mind had said, you're never going to be able to do this, you know, and I felt like an idiot, you know, someone who couldn't even fill out a form, you know, that's definitely ego. You're never going to be able to do this, you know, with a you idiot behind it. But also, you know, another story is recently I broke my wrist. It's out of the cast now and it's healing now. But, you know, when I was cooking, you know, and I'm a pretty independent person, I was cooking and I was trying to open jars and, you know, trying to do things that I couldn't do. And in a loving way, it came, you know, you're never going to be able to do this. In other words, it's telling me you need to let go of trying to do it yourself and go ask for help. You know, it's not going to happen right now. You can't open a jar, you know. And so, same words, you're never going to be able to do this. And then I go, Danielle, Jasmine, can somebody come in here and open these jars for me? I can't, you know. So it's not in the language as much as it's in the feel. You know, it's in the feel. The judgmental voice is ego. The helpful coach is intuition. The helpful coach. You're never going to be able to do this. You need to ask for help. Right? Because it would have been my ego that would have kept trying and trying and trying. You know, wanted to not ask for help. Not ask for help would be part of my conditioning. Do everything myself. That would be a part of my conditioning. Let's see what else Anna has to say here. Well, she says, for me, when I get an intuitive insight, there is a little dialogue that goes on in me between my spiritual discernment and my intuition, which says, ooh, that's right, isn't it? And straight away, I get a feeling of certainty, perhaps of being excited or uplifted as well. One experience that I had recently, I developed a rash. And it was a very, very itchy rash. And it was spreading, you know, started off in a small place on my arms, and then it extended to the trunk of my body, first the front side, then the back side, and it was very itchy. I had no idea where this rash came from. One thing I did not want to do was guess where this rash came from. Now, there happen to be a few people in my life right now who have food allergies, and, you know, they're always trying to guess which food made me feel this way today, and it seems like that turns into an unhelpful addiction, too. You know, I watch them, oh, I ate this today, maybe that's what's wrong, and they never quite find the answer, and it's just this ongoing seek but do not find of which foods are causing my condition. And so I didn't want to get into guessing what this rash was about. Instead, I wanted to just be in acceptance. And one day while I was on the toilet, not even thinking about the rash at all, this idea came into my mind that about a week before the rash appeared, I had started taking calcium. Again, because everybody was telling me to. Everybody on the outside was telling me to take calcium, you know, because I had broken a bone, and I'm in my 50s now, so everybody said, you need to take calcium. And at first, when people told me to take calcium, I didn't. I'm like, no, I don't need calcium. No, I don't need calcium. But after about the eighth person told me, it's like, okay, I'll take calcium. So I started taking the calcium, and this thought that came while I was on the toilet reminded me, I started taking the calcium about a week before the rash started. And when that thought came into my mind, it went, I would have said, I hadn't thought of that. You know, because it was as if something else was giving me the thought. I didn't figure it out. So my response would have been, oh, I hadn't thought of that. You know? So I quit taking the calcium. And within a week, the rash was gone. So, there's actually two good points in that story. First of all, we were talking a moment ago about, you know, Anna was recommending you open up to the outside as well. And I said, I don't fully agree with that part of it. I mean, kind of do, but not fully. Like I said, people were telling me to take calcium. And I can't say I ever got an inner confirmation. I never got take calcium. You know, I never got that. It's just after about eight people, you could say what I was really feeling was nagged by the universe. Like, okay, I'll take the calcium. But there was never that deep feeling. I just did it because everybody kept saying it. And then that resulted in this rash. But when the thought came into the mind, you started taking the calcium, there was a recognition, a deep knowing, you know, I threw the calcium away. And I don't have intention of taking any more calcium. You know? So it's kind of funny. You really do have to, you know, I can feel the difference in me between the decision that started taking the calcium just because everybody was saying it. Like it was that's kind of a shallow feeling. Just everybody just kept saying it, so I did it. It was shallow. And then the thought that came that, you know, to stop taking the calcium, that was a deep inner intuitive feeling. And these are the kinds of things that we tune into. The more we experience and the more we live, right? These are the kind of things that we tune into. So I agree with Anna when she talks about having that certainty. She says, I get a feeling of certainty. And then perhaps being excited or uplifted as well. But I agree that there's a certainty. Another rumor that a lot of people believe is that, you know, if it is guidance or if it is intuition, you will feel peace. And that's not necessarily true. And the reason that's not necessarily true is because you may not be listening to only guidance. If you listen to only guidance and no other thought, it is true you would feel peace. But what can happen is that the guidance can come or the intuition can come, and then immediately these thoughts, you know. So like in my case, you know, there was the guidance, the original guidance to move to Pueblo. When that came in a dream. And I recognized it as a dream I was to listen to. But once I had made the decision, okay, I'm going to do what the dream says, immediately all of these fears set in. The biggest fear was financial. because at that point I had not been working for a few years. I had, you know, written NTI and spent some time, you know, with Laurent, but I hadn't worked in a few years, and my savings was running out. I was down to my last $10,000. And you know how much it costs to move from North Carolina to Pueblo? Approximately $10,000. So I felt like this move was going to suck up the last of my money. And then I would get here and boom, then the disaster would hit, you know, because I'd have no money. And I really became very, very fearful. And in fact, at this point, I even became angry at Holy Spirit. It was kind of like, what more do you want from me? You know, like I left my job the first time. I moved to North Carolina. I wrote NTI. I live with, you know, Laurent for, you know, what, you know, when are you going to quit asking for stuff from me? I mean, I was even angry. So does the fact that I was fearful and angry mean that it wasn't guidance? No, it was guidance to move to Pueblo. It just means I wasn't simply listening to the guidance. I was listening to the guidance and every single opinion ego had about it. You see? So if you're only listening to the guidance and you don't listen to any other thought, well then sure, you'll feel peace. But lots of times we're listening to guidance and a whole lot of other thoughts about it. And so the feeling is not peace. The feeling can be fear. The feeling can be anger. The feeling can be sacrifice. It depends on, you know, the conglomeration of what you're listening to. But even though I was angry, and even though I was fearful, I was certain. That was always there. That's what every time I've called it guidance, it's because it had that element of certainty about it. Like, I know it came, and I know it didn't come from my mind. I'm certain that I'm being asked to move to Pueblo. Whether I'm going to like it or not, I don't know. Whether I'm going to die doing it or not, I don't know. Whether this is going to be a disaster or not, I don't know. But I'm certain I'm being asked to move to Pueblo. So I would say the primary way to recognize intuition is more, you know, once you get tuned into it, is more the certainty than how you, you know, feel about it. Let me tell you another story about intuition. I mentioned earlier that I teach the True Meditation class, and we talk about the obstacles to intuition in that class. And I mentioned that one of the obstacles is unworthiness. Another obstacle is the belief that your thinking mind is wisdom. And most of us have that belief, that our thinking mind is wisdom. And if you believe that your thinking mind is wisdom, then what happens when intuition comes in and, you know, prompts in whatever way it prompts, and then the thinking mind comes in with all the reasons why that's not a good idea. And if you believe that your thinking mind is wisdom, you will choose your thinking mind over the intuition. And the interesting thing is the intuition is always quiet, quick, and storyless. So it's just a feeling to do something or to not do something. And then the mind is loud and has a million reasons why it's right, you know? And what many people will do, maybe even most people will do, even if they felt the intuition, is they quickly disregard it as, they disregard it as meaningless. And they listen to the wisdom of the thinking mind. So in order to really tune into intuition and follow it, one thing we have to realize is the thinking mind is not wisdom. That mind doesn't know anything. The thinking mind is extremely, extremely limited. It only knows what you've learned in this lifetime, what you've imagined about the future, right? What your fears are. It only knows about you, the individual. And it's not even clarity about you, the individual. It has all of your misperceptions caught up in it, you know, distorted fantasies caught up in it. So it only knows about you, the individual, and it's distorted. That's not wisdom. How could you think that was wisdom? Intuition, on the other hand. Intuition comes from the whole. That little intuitive prompt that you receive, although it's very quiet and barely noticeable, It knows everything. It knows what is real and what is not real. It knows everything about truth. But it also knows everything about illusion. It knows what's going on with everyone else. It knows what's in everyone's best interest, what will make everyone else happiest. It knows all of that, but it doesn't tell you any of that. It just prompts you, do this, say this, right? So I'll get to you in just a moment, Susan. So the thinking mind is the one we're believing is wisdom, and it's distorted and narrow. The intuition, which is very, very quiet, has all of the wisdom in the universe behind it, 100% of the wisdom of the universe. And so we need to learn to realize that, that even though we don't know why we're being prompted to do this or do that, trust it, because all of the wisdom of the universe is behind that little bitty prompt. Okay, Susan, I'm going to turn the mic over to you.
Thanks. The talk today, it's great. I've really been practicing, you know, staying in the moment and just letting intuition lead my day. But I wanted you to see if you, I wanted to see if you could touch a little bit on the thinking mind and like the law of attraction, because, you know, just the whole you're getting what you're thinking about. I'm trying to keep my mind in a place all day of being present, of where I'm at, and for my thoughts, I'm just trying to keep thoughts of gratitude for everything, and, you know, silent prayers for people that I'm working on, and just thanking Holy Spirit for things like, you know, choosing forgiveness and, you know, gratitude and joy. But I do realize the thinking mind, I'm realizing, no, yeah, but get out of your own way. Let spirit, let intuition, you know, come and be guided by that. But can you speak a little bit at all on the law of attraction and the thinking mind?
All right, let me finish what I was on, because I wasn't done with that yet. And then let me see what happens with this law of attraction thing. Right now, I'm not feeling the motivation. I got to be honest. And so I'm not even going to promise. How's that? I'm going to follow my own intuition. I've made a note. I've written it down. And if I circle back around to that, I will. And if I don't, I won't. How's that for the answer? So back to what I was talking about then, because that's really where I feel to be. So one of the obstacles to intuition is, you know, believing that your thinking mind is wisdom, right? So I want to just tell you another little story, another little illustration. We had a guest come here one time and was staying with us. It happened to be, I think it was actually Memorial weekend. And I wanted to take her out to dinner. So we got in the car, and I hadn't lived here that long. We'd only lived here about 8 months by that point. We got in the car, and I drove her to this restaurant that I thought was a pretty nice little restaurant. And we got there. It was closed for Memorial Day. But as soon as I saw that the restaurant was closed for Memorial Day, I felt this thought. This thought showed up, Dairy Queen. And my thinking mind, like, Dairy Queen? No, when you take guests out to eat, you don't take them to Dairy Queen. You take them to a nice restaurant, right? So I totally blew off that little prompt. And I started struggling in my mind. This should have been the next sense that I was out of the flow, because now I'm struggling in my mind. It's not coming easily. Where else can I take her? So I thought of another restaurant. We drove over there. And guess what? It was closed for Memorial Day. So now I'm really struggling in my mind. Where can I take her? Where can I take her? And I remember this Chinese restaurant. So we go to this Chinese restaurant. It's open. We go in. We get our food. We sit down. We start eating. And it is literally the worst food I've eaten in my life. It is terrible. And I'm looking at the face of my guest and Jasmine, and I can see on their faces, they're forcing their food down just like I am. So about halfway through the meal, I said, well, maybe we should have just gone to Dairy Queen. And the guest goes, I love Dairy Queen. You know, they're very excited like. So you see, intuition knows everything. I didn't know she loved Dairy Queen. You know, I didn't know Dairy Queen was the perfect place to take this person out to dinner on Memorial Day. But intuition knew. But because I thought my mind was wisdom, and I had these rules in my mind, right? The rule in my mind was, you know, you take a person out, you know, you're taking a person out to dinner, you take them to a nice restaurant. I disregarded my intuition. So one of the things we have to let go of is believing that the mind is wisdom. But also, I had mentioned earlier that one of the ways you tune into intuition is by your mistakes. Well, this was another one of those times where I tuned in a little better. Because as soon as she said, I love Dairy Queen, right? I remembered that prompt and what that felt like. I thought, oh man, I should have listened to that feeling that had the word Dairy Queen in it. You know, if I had just said, okay, and I promised myself then, you know, I'm never gonna say no to that feeling again. And I'm not saying I've never made another mistake, but I would say that that day I made a firmer decision to live by intuition instead of living by my mind, by my thinking. And I have really, really learned to tune into my feeling and just follow my feeling. And in fact, you know, to be honest, what happened with Susan right now was a perfect live example. You know, she came in and she asked me to talk about the law of attraction and the thinking mind. You know, and if I was, you know, really wanting to please, I would have totally dropped what I was talking about and moved to that. But I checked within and the feeling was, no, keep with this intuition. Stay on this track. And there's motivation here. There's no motivation to move to the law of attraction. And I bet you if I tried, I would stumble and stammer and it wouldn't be clear because I wouldn't be getting the support of the universe in that discussion right now. I have written it down, and if it comes up, we'll circle back to it. But if it doesn't come up, I have to be completely accepting of that. And I'm sure Susan's accepting of that too, but let's pretend like she wasn't. Let's pretend like Susan got mad, you know, because I, you know, she asked a question and I'm just ignoring it, right? That can't be my concern. When you choose to live by intuition, how others react cannot be your concern. You have to trust that the intuition has the highest interest of everyone in mind. The intuition knows what's in everyone's best interest. And you know, I always think of it as you're like the little soldier and the intuition is the general. The general can see the whole battlefield, right? And the general knows where all the soldiers need to be. The soldier from his little spot on the battlefield has no idea what's going on anywhere else. So the soldier has to always follow the instructions of the general to the letter without questioning and without making decisions, well, I think this is better. So I'm the soldier, and I just follow the intuition, realizing I don't know why, and I don't even need to know why. But the universe always gives you what you need to accomplish what it's asking you to accomplish. And motivation is one of those things, the energy to get it done, the ideas that you need, the help that you need from other people, the resources, everything is provided. And one way to tell when you leave intuition is you begin to start feeling like you're on your own. You're having to fight. You're having to struggle. Like when I was trying to figure out the restaurant, that wasn't coming. It wasn't coming what restaurant to go to. I was struggling. Yesterday, again, we had guests coming and we didn't know yet. The guests ended up not arriving in time for dinner, but we didn't know that. We were thinking she would be here in time for dinner. And Danielle typically cooks dinner on Tuesdays. However, I typically let Danielle know what to cook. You know, it comes up in me, not in her, what to cook. So I'll say, hey, Danielle, why don't you cook this for dinner? She says, okay, and she does it. So yesterday was Tuesday. We're expecting a guest. You know, as far as habit goes, Danielle's going to cook. I need to tell her what to cook. I had no idea anything about dinner. I had nothing in me about dinner. And so when Danielle asked me in the morning, I just said, I don't know. It came to be about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and Danielle texted me and said, what am I cooking for dinner? Well, by this time, I already told you guys, I was contemplating NTI. I hadn't even gotten to buy groceries yet. You know, I had my motivation had moved me to contemplation and writing a course. So I was doing that. And so I just wrote Danielle and said, I don't know. And she says, well, you know, she kind of like, I need to know. I need to know what time to come home. And I'm like, well, why don't you just forget about it? And she's like, okay, I'll forget about it. And at some point, I think it was when I was driving to the grocery store, once that motivation came, while I was driving to the grocery store, suddenly it just kind of was born in me. I mean, it came out of nowhere. I wasn't thinking about it. It was just born in me. We're having chef salads for dinner. And that was a convenient time for it to be born while I'm driving to the store, because then I was able to grab the things that we needed, right? But the point is, the struggling and thinking is something I don't do anymore. Once upon a time, if Danielle had asked me at, you know, 8 in the morning, what am I cooking for dinner tonight? I would have said, oh man, I don't know. And I would have been struggling. There would have been a fight in my head to try and come up with what she should cook for dinner. Now I'm willing to just say, I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know. And used to even that would have scared me as we got closer and closer to the dinner hour. And I still didn't know what it was going to be. I didn't know if I needed to thaw something. I didn't know if I needed to go buy something. That would have scared me. And it would have scared me because of that sense of unworthiness that I failed Danielle and Jasmine, in this case, a guest, by not having dinner on the table in time. You know, what happens if dinner comes and there's nothing to cook? You know, what happens if I don't have the ingredients I need? All of this stuff would have worried me. Yeah, being unprepared. But I have learned to just live by intuition and not be concerned about anything else. Not be concerned even if there is no dinner, right? And what I've learned is intuition has never, ever, ever, ever failed me. It doesn't always show up when the mind says it should. Like maybe the mind would have thought that I, you know, needed to know when Danielle was asking in the morning, and definitely needed to know by the time Danielle asked again at 2, and I didn't know, right? But you know what? We had a nice dinner last night of chef salad. It all worked out. Nobody went hungry. So, you know, when you decide to live by intuition, at least from my perception, my humble perception, that needs to be a total commitment, even when it gets into a space where you're uncomfortable. You know, there will become a space where you feel like, oh, here I need to take over. You know, this situation has to be taken care of, and intuition's not giving me anything. I need to take over. But you can tell when you start doing that, when you start taking over, because that's when it becomes a struggle. The universe is no longer providing for you everything you need. It will provide motivation. It will provide ideas. It will provide resources. It will provide everything you need. I do that with my work list as well. You know, I have a very long list of tasks, and I'm aware of my list of tasks. But I never pick when I'm going to work on a particular task. I let motivation tell me. And lots of times, my mind would tell motivation, you're wrong. You know, for example, I'm writing this MPP curriculum, and the courses come in a certain order. I have to deliver them in a certain order. And my mind would say, you know, the course that I'm going to be delivering next month is the course I should be writing right now because I'm going to need it first. But sometimes intuition has me writing the course that I'm not going to deliver for 6 months. But you know what? When I go into that course and I contemplate that course, and then I come back to the one that's in a month, the contemplation of the one 6 months from now has something to do with the one a month from now, and now what I'm writing is going to be richer. You see, intuition knew I needed that resource from that other course. So it sent me ahead to work on the Kabbalah course. And then it brought me back to the Jesus course or the Sufi course. And I see some, I wouldn't have seen it that way if I hadn't gone over to the Kabbalah course for a while. So instead of doing things in the time-ordered way that this mind would, I have just learned to trust intuition. But you have to be willing to not believe that the mind is wisdom. And you have to be willing to step into a space where you might be uncomfortable if you still have any belief that the mind is right. But if you do it, you learn that intuition is right. You learn that intuition has incredible wisdom that the mind never could have had, right? And so then you're just more and more excited about living by intuition. And like I said, that Dairy Queen mistake, as silly as that mistake sounds, That was the day that I became fully committed. I mean, I really saw when she said, I love Dairy Queen. I saw intuition knows everything, no matter how tiny a detail, you know, that she loves Dairy Queen. No matter how tiny a detail, it knows everything. And that was the day I decided to quit listening to the mind and listen to intuition instead. And I really do my best to live by it. And I am totally willing when people say 45 minutes for dinner. What's for dinner? I don't know yet. Knowing that I will know in time, and apparently this dinner needs less than 45 minutes to prepare. Because I don't know yet, right? And that's how I live. Yeah. So I think I'm going to leave Anna's website now just because I'm feeling to. No other reason. And here's a website called How to Improve Your Intuition. It's a Hindu website. Oh, that's interesting. So I'm going to give you all a link to this, and we'll see what's here of interest. Okay, so intuition is the ability to know or feel automatically or instinctually what is going to happen or what may be necessary or appropriate or the right solution in a given situation. It is a kind of premonition, a gut feeling, or a hunch, which lets you know exactly how things are shaping out or in what direction you are progressing. In intuition, you do not deliberately use reason and analysis. Okay, this line is important. In intuition, you do not deliberately use reason and analysis. They probably happen in the background without your active involvement. What you get from your intuition is usually the end result or the final conclusion. But how do you know that your intuition is going to work and that that is not mere guesswork? There is no real answer to this. Only time will tell whether your intuition was right or wrong. So it sounds like the point that they're starting on this Hindu website is really the same point that Anna started on, is, you know, you're going to make mistakes. You know, there are times when you're going to, you know, really think something is in your intuition and you're going to follow it, and then you're going to realize later, oh, that wasn't. But again, as I've pointed out, that's a part of how you learn, so don't worry about it. You know, you don't become a master like that. You become a master through practicing and watching your mistakes without judgment and practicing again. And over time, you get much, much, much better at recognizing that intuitive feeling and recognizing the certainty in it that you were missing before, right? So you just keep trying. Now, this is an interesting sentence. If you have a strong ego, very likely, you may not be able to think intuitively. You may force yourself to think intelligently through hard work and discipline, but you cannot do the same in case of intuition. You can, however, let intuition arise on its own in your heart and mind. You can do it by cultivating a passive, mindful, non-judgmental, and detached awareness, and by not interfering with your thoughts or a rigid mindset. You know, that is beautiful. There are a lot of people who claim to me they have no idea what intuition is. They have no idea how to feel their intuition. And, you know, if there's an absolute beginning step, that's the absolute beginning step, is I have no idea what intuition is. You know, how can I follow it? I have no idea what it is. Well, you know, it's very much like, you know, the Course talks about, you know, love cannot be taught, but your task is to find and remove all of the obstacles to love's presence. Well, intuition is not something you can make, but you need to find the obstacles to your intuition, and you need to learn to let those obstacles go. And as you let go of the obstacles to intuition, the intuition will become obvious in itself. You'll start to just recognize it. It'll just happen. So as I've mentioned, one obstacle to intuition is your sense of unworthiness. And in fact, you know, if you have a sense of unworthiness and then you believe that you can't hear intuition, that just, you know, further cultivates a sense of unworthiness. It's just kind of a loop that has no place to go. So one of the things that you could do if you have this sense of unworthiness is you could realize that this is an idea you have about yourself. At least that was helpful for me. This isn't an idea coming from some god somewhere. You know, this isn't a fact, right? You don't have the mark of Cain on you. This is just an idea you have about yourself. And you can even start noticing how you reinforce this idea. Start noticing when you tell yourself you're stupid, when you tell yourself you're clumsy, when you tell yourself you're fat, when you tell yourself whatever, you're a failure, you're irresponsible, and notice everything that you are doing to reinforce this idea, and come to see that, you know, as the Course says, you're really doing it to yourself. Because the more clearly you see that you are the one making up this idea and you are the one reinforcing it, the closer you are to being able to just let it go. Okay, hold on 1 second. Jamie wants to go outside. The second obstacle, as I've already mentioned, is thinking that your thinking mind is wisdom. And so, you know, an intuitive prompt comes in, but then all the thinking comes in and you listen to the thinking instead. And probably the best solution to that is just start paying attention to the results when you do. And if you just pay attention to the results when you choose to believe the thinking mind instead of the intuition, you will start to see evidence that the intuition was right. And as you see that evidence showing up more and more and more, you'll let go of the idea that the thinking mind is wisdom, and you'll be able to realize how incredibly wise the intuition is. How the intuition knows things that there's no way the thinking mind ever could have known them. A third obstacle to following intuition is a belief in the past and the future. I don't have a story coming up. I'd love to have a story to illustrate this, but right now one isn't coming up. But if you think that, you know, because it's always been this way, every time I do X, Y happens. Every time I do X, Y happens. And Y is something that you don't perceive favorable, right? Every time I do X, Y happens. You may make a decision within your mind, I need to stop doing X. But then one day intuition comes in and asks you to do X, right? If you believe in that past, every time I do X, Y happens, then you won't do X when intuition kicks in. So you need to let go of the belief in the past, the belief in your learning, really, your past experience, and be willing to be absolutely present in the moment as if there was no other time. And that way, if intuition shows up asking you to do X, you don't have all of these past experiences about X. The only thing you care about is, oh, it's intuition. I do whatever intuition asks me to do. And then you do it. You know, you'll be able to follow intuition so much more easily if the only thing you care about is whether it's intuition or not. And you just are following intuition simply because it's intuition. You know, that for no other reason. So the ideas of the past and the future and the ideas that what happened in the past, you know, it can repeat itself in the future. All of these ideas have to be let go. And you have to be in this new, fresh moment now where you don't know anything about what's going to happen if you do X. And that way, when intuition shows up asking you to do X, you will. So letting go of these obstacles is going to help intuition to arise naturally. Now, here on the Hindu website, they have some other tips. We'll go through their tips. It looks like they have 18 tips on how to cultivate intuition. So the first tip is be sensitive to your thoughts, feelings, and surroundings. So I guess the question becomes, what does the word sensitive mean? And I would say that sensitive means feeling. I remember once I got a message from Holy Spirit called, "You're a student of feeling now." And what that message was all about was moving from listening to the words in the head to just feeling, not emotion. It's below emotion. You know, emotion is on top of this, but to this feeling of what was really going on, of the content, this feeling of content. So I spoke to you earlier about a sentence that Anna had given us, the sentence, "You'll never be able to do this." And I gave an example how "you'll never be able to do this" could come from ego. Oh, you're never going to be able to do this. You know, you're so stupid, right? That's ego. And how that same sentence, "you'll never be able to do this," could come from spirit or intuition. You'll never be able to do this. You need to ask for help, right? And the way you know the difference between egos, "you'll never be able to do this," and intuition or spirits, "you'll never be able to do this," is the feeling. And that feeling is the actual content of the message. The content of ego's message is judgment. The content of intuition's message is helpfulness. And so you want to become sensitive to what's happening in you so that you can get beyond the story, beyond the words and the thoughts, and down to the actual content. You kind of want to learn to tune into yourself in a different way. The second tip they have is pay attention. Be mindful of what is happening in your mind and body, because intuition may arise in you as a bodily sensation, a gut feeling, or a vague thought. And I totally agree with that. You know, I told you the story about the other day when Ron wanted me to go to the gym, and I went into the bedroom and, you know, started preparing to go to the gym. And, you know, two things happened at once. The kind of, really, this was an intuition that I had just left the flow. Two things started happening at once. One, I couldn't make a decision. I didn't know what I was going to do when I got to the gym. I didn't know what to put in my bag, and I was just kind of walking in circles suddenly, unable to make a decision. And the other thing that happened was this heaviness set in. But see, those feelings were actually intuition, letting me know I had just left the trail, just left the flow, just left the path, right? And by tuning into those and seeing them as intuition, intuition's letting me know I'm heading in the wrong direction, I just turned around and went and told Ron, "I can't go to the gym." I can't go to the gym. So intuition isn't your emotions. Like that heavy feeling wasn't my emotion. My emotion might have been a grievance, anger, you know, these types of things. It wasn't emotion, but there was a heaviness that said, "Oh, that's not the right way." I wish I could remember what it is. Danielle, there's something Danielle gets when she always knows she's about to make a wrong decision. I can't remember what it is. I wish I could, but it's something like that. You know, like a heaviness comes over her and she knows that's the no. And so then she just turns and goes the opposite direction. So, and often intuition comes in what I would call not words, but a feeling of yes or no. I get more yeses and nos than anything else. Just yes, no. And I also often, I feel all the time, I've been using the word motivation, I feel the motivation of what I am to do. And I just follow the motivation. And again, the motivation is different than the I want. I don't even ask what I want anymore. I couldn't even, if somebody was to say, "Well, Regina, what do you want to do today?" I'd be like, "Oh my God, I hadn't even thought about it. I have no idea what I want to do," because I don't even ask that question anymore. I don't care what I want to do. That part of me is, you know, dead and buried. But there's a motivation that tells me what is going to be done. You know, a motivation that moves me. And so I feel for that motivation. And then sometimes it comes into the mind, you know, like he says here, as a vague thought, like Dairy Queen. Or that thought that, those calcium tablets, you know, you started taking those a week before the rash. Right? Those are like thoughts, but they're very vague, they're very quiet, and they don't have this huge story attached to them. You know, people call it the still quiet voice, or the small quiet voice, right? Just, it's very quiet, it's very soft-spoken, doesn't have a lot to say, but it's pointing in a very clear direction. Whenever you have a whole great big story about why something, that's coming from the mind. Intuition never has a story. Never. It just gives you the information you need, nothing more, nothing less. And again, you don't need to understand why, so it doesn't tell you why if it's asking you to do something. It didn't tell me, take her to Dairy Queen. Dairy Queen's her favorite place. Everything else in town is closed except for the Chinese restaurant, and it sucks. You know, it didn't tell me that. All it said was, Dairy Queen. Right? So you have to be willing to trust intuition, even though it's just a vague little quiet thought without any story whatsoever. And again, as you trust intuition, as you follow it, you'll learn for yourself the wisdom that's behind it. The third tip they have on this website is stay calm. Let your mind remain calm and composed and free from disturbances. If you are anxious, disturbed, or agitated, you will lose touch with your intuitive mind and remain distracted. All right, well, now I have a little more of the rash story to tell you. As I mentioned, I had a rash recently. It started on my arms, and then it moved to my trunk, to my belly, and then it moved to my back. And it was very, very itchy. Well, we had recently been in Costa Rica. And our last night in Costa Rica, we stayed at a guest house, which was a very clean guest house. But, you know, lots of different people go through that place every day. And recently when I've been in India, I did, you know, get some bed bug bites. I didn't bring the bed bugs home, but I got some bed bug bites. So when this rash started showing up, the idea that came into my mind is, oh my God, what if I brought home some bed bugs from the guest house? What if there were bed bugs there and I brought them home? Now this isn't a very pleasant thought. I'm sure you guys can imagine. This is not a pleasant thought at all. And I did take the time to go and look on the internet and read up on bed bugs. And the more you read up on it, the less pleasant the thought is. It talks about how difficult they are to detect and how difficult they are to get rid of them. And even if you get rid of them, a reoccurrence is highly likely. You know, all this stuff. Well, I knew that it didn't hurt to read this information. But it would hurt if I allowed this information to make me crazy. I knew that it didn't hurt to be aware of how to recognize whether I had bed bugs or not, since that was a possibility. But it would hurt if I let this drive me crazy. And I did a couple of the tests they asked to the best of my ability, not as thoroughly as they asked, because I didn't have that ability by myself. I didn't see anything. But the entire time that I was watching, there was like this part of my mind that wanted to freak out. And this part of my mind that knew that would not be helpful. It's that simple. That would not be helpful. You know, and after reading the websites and doing a little bit of testing around the house and still not coming up with anything, but still not being certain, I had this rash. I wasn't certain what it was. What I did was I said a prayer. And I said, I have no idea what to do here. I said, I need some guidance. Please come to me in my sleep and give me guidance. And then I went to sleep. And I did have a dream. And in my dream, I went to see the doctor with my rash. And the doctor was Adyashanti. And I went in, I lifted up my shirt, and I showed Adyashanti my back, which is where the rash had most recently gone. I showed him the back, and Adyashanti just kind of pulled my shirt back down and said, don't leave meditation. And in my dream, there was some girlfriend waiting for me outside. I don't know who it was. I went back out, and I said to my girlfriend, I said, he didn't even care. He just told me not to leave meditation. And the next morning when I woke up, I didn't remember that dream right away. But at some point, you know, in the morning, something happened and the dream came back into my mind. And when it came back into my mind, I remembered. I hadn't even forgotten I'd asked for help. I'd forgotten everything. And so when it came back into my mind, I remembered, oh, yeah, I asked for a dream and this came. And so I said, so that's my guidance. And the guidance is do not leave meditation, which to me was just a further indication of what I already knew. I can't let myself go crazy about this. I still didn't know whether I, you know, possibly had bed bugs or not. But I couldn't let myself go crazy about it. In fact, the decision I made in my mind is, even if I do have bed bugs, I'm going to go through this entire experience of, you know, calling the exterminator, doing whatever has to be done without going crazy, because my guidance is do not leave meditation, which to me means do not leave the center, do not leave space, the spaciousness within myself, or as they're saying here, stay calm. So even though I didn't know, I mean, the dream didn't tell me, yes, you do, or no, you do not have bed bugs. It just said, do not leave meditation. So even though I still did not know, I knew I needed to stay centered. And then, as I mentioned to you, then at some point, the thought came in about the calcium tablets. But, you know, the thought about the calcium tablets maybe never would have come, or I wouldn't have heard it, I wouldn't have recognized it, if I'd been all freaked out about the bed bugs. I would have been down some path. Right? All freaked out and scared, and I wouldn't have been able to hear that quiet little reminder that a week before the rash showed up, I started taking the calcium tablets. So I love this tip, you know, stay calm. Let your mind remain calm and composed and free from disturbances. If you are anxious, disturbed, or agitated, you will lose touch with your intuitive mind and remain distracted. That's a bingo comment. Their fourth recommendation, stay in the present and keep yourself fully awake and alert. A keen sense of observation is very essential for intuitive thought to arise. For me, staying in the present is the opposite of being lost in my mind. That's what staying in the present is. It's just the opposite of being lost in my mind. So if I am lost in my mind, listening to everything mind has to say about everything, I am not in the present, and therefore I'm not available to recognize intuition. So this means that the mind training that we need is the training of every time we notice we're caught up in our mind again, is learning to step outside of the mind. And I personally don't know any better trainer than the teachings of Inner Ramana. And I say that because that's where I learned it. The teachings of Inner Ramana is a fantastic book for teaching you to stay out of the mind. You know, it teaches the practice of surrender, for asking, what am I to do now? How am I to see this? How am I to respond? You see, when you're asking that, you're really asking it of intuition. You're not in the mind thinking about things. Instead of thinking about what should I do, thinking about how should I, you know, how I see this, what does that person mean, what does that person, you know. Instead of all that thinking, you're just asking. You're just following directions. You're being the soldier. And then the other thing that the Inner Ramana gave that was very, very helpful was the mantra. And the mantra I used significantly when I noticed the mind wandering, then I would say the mantra and step out of mental mind wandering. So the only way to be in the present is to not be in the mind. And again, the teachings of Inner Ramana is the best recommendation I have for learning how to stay out of the mind. And not reading the book, practicing the book. Reading the book is fun, but reading the book doesn't get you anything. It's actually practicing what the book teaches. Step number 5, listen attentively. When you listen to people actively, you will allow your mind to draw its own conclusions about the verbal and nonverbal clues coming from people and think intuitively. Now, of course, they're using the mind, but when they say, they're using the word mind, but when they say listen actively, well, you can't listen actively and be listening to your mind too. It seems like I heard on the radio this morning or the news this morning something about, I think it was on the news. Most people listen to respond or to reply. Few people listen to understand. So the whole time we're listening, what we're thinking about is what we're going to say back or what we're going to do about that or what we think about that. So we're not really listening, we're thinking. In order to listen actively, your intent has to be to hear fully, to understand. And when you do that, in fact, I shared this as a tip last night in the NTI class. When you really, 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 really listen to someone, you are training your mind not to think. You know, when you listen to someone, you start noticing that your mind is thinking about what they're saying. If you just say to yourself, no, I'm not thinking, I'm listening, and return yourself to the listening, you will learn to listen without thinking. And when you listen without thinking, intuition will naturally arise. When you do respond, you'll hear your response, but you'll know that you didn't think of that response. You'll know that response is just coming through you, right? One of the things that I notice in this room sometimes, I'm not referring to today, so I don't want anybody to feel guilty. But one of the things I notice in this room sometimes when I'm teaching is I can tell that there are people in the room who are not listening. I can tell they're not listening by their comments. I may have said a word, and they heard that word, then that took them into thinking, and they're typing the result of their thinking. Now, it's not that I'm that important to listen to. It's that everyone's that important to listen to. Everyone. When you're not listening, you're caught up in your mind. If you just listen, intuition will come up. And I can also tell when people are typing comments from intuition. I can see that. And in fact, I'm sure you guys know the story of the day that, one of my teachings, a recording was playing and somebody was typing comments. And that person's comments were so spot on from intuition, so deep from perfect intuition, that I wanted to know who that person was. As it turned out, it was Michael Langford. But you see, I can tell. I could tell what was happening there, and I could tell where those comments were coming from. And I can tell when people aren't listening and their comments are just coming from the chatter in their own minds, too. And on a personal level, I really don't care whether you listen to me or not. I don't care. You know, that's up to you. But if you want this intuition, this guidance, this Holy Spirit that we talk about to be informing you all of the time, one thing you need to learn to do is to listen, not just to me, but to everyone. You need to learn to listen without thinking. And as you listen to someone else very deeply, just listening to understand, intuition will arise through you naturally, and you will be the witness of it. So that's a wonderful practice. Practice listening to everyone that you come across. And when you see your mind, if you haven't practiced listening yet, you will notice that your mind is going to start thinking. You'll start thinking about what they're saying, thinking about them, thinking about what they're saying has to do with you. And you know, all this thinking is happening. In fact, sometimes when I'm teaching, somebody will say, "Are you talking about me?" Typically, I'm not. But you know what that tells me is they're listening to what I'm saying and thinking, what does this have to do with me? They're not just listening, right? Every time somebody types in, "Are you thinking about me?" I know they're thinking about them, right? So every time you notice that you're thinking, return yourself to listening. And intuition will arise naturally as you listen without thinking. So that was their fifth tip, listen attentively. Sixth, feel empathy and compassion for others. You are sensitive and intuitive to the extent that you empathize with others and feel for them. Now, Jay types in, "You talking to me?" Yeah, I'm talking to you, Jay. No, you have to know what true empathy is or what true compassion is in order to understand this comment. You know, there can't be this, "Oh, poor you." There can't be this agreement that you're a victim. There can't be all of this. But also the other way, and this is the way a lot of spiritual students go, the other side of that is being like turning off your sensitivity completely. And when somebody else is telling you, you know, how sick their child is and how much they're suffering over that, you're like, yeah, you know, like it doesn't matter to me at all. yeah, what do I care about your life, you know? It's just an illusion. That's another way of saying, what do I care about your life? There's a place in between where you can understand someone else's suffering. You can have compassion for the fact that they are suffering. And yet you can choose the clear mind for them. In fact, yesterday, Lynn, I hope Lynn doesn't mind me talking about her a little bit, Lynn wrote me an email saying that the baby was sick. And this wasn't easy for her, which I'm sure we can all imagine. You know, when the baby is sick, it is not easy, right? And so I wrote back to her. She said she was having difficulty staying in the heart. I wrote back to her, I will stay in the heart for you. And I, you know, throughout the day remembered that promise and just stepped into the heart for Lynn. That's all I did. Just, you know, stepped into the heart for Lynn and her family. Very simple compassion. There's something about compassion that doesn't have to do with me, 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 me. And so when you step into compassion, into that true empathy, true compassion with someone else, you step into a space where intuition can reach you, right? You just step into this space because you're stepping away from me, 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 my thoughts, my ideas, my life, my opinions, my, you know, everything. And so so you do want to be aware of what other people are going through, you know, when they share it with you. Be aware of it at a heart level. But don't go into victim ideas, oh, that's horrible, blah, blah, blah. Just go into the heart for them. Just go into the heart for them. And you're going to be standing right next to the intuitive channel when you set in the heart for them. Okay, so the next tip, tip number 7, practice detachment. If you are detached, you give a wider entrance to your intuitive mind to speak through your wakeful mind. So yeah, when stuff is happening, instead of throwing yourself all the way into the stuff, you want to learn to step back and watch it. And I mentioned this with the bed bug scenario, right? It's not that I didn't know. I mean, bed bugs were a possibility. It appeared like a reasonable possibility. So I didn't know that I should just forget about it. But I did know that I shouldn't throw myself all the way into it and panic. You know, so I knew to stay in that calm mind, which is that detached mind, you know, and I knew to go ahead and look it up, see what they have to say, you know, practice the tests that you can practice at home, just take it one step at a time, you know, see what unfolds. You know, there's a very detached way of moving through the steps that you have to take. And if you move through the steps today in a very detached way, you're going to be open to intuition, you know, and you could say the intuition for me in that story, the first intuition was just, you know, ask for help. You know, like I don't know what to do here. So, you know, I'm going to go to sleep now. Please come to my dreams and tell me what to do. I don't know. And then a dream came. It came, right? And the dream just told me basically to stay with what I was already doing, which was staying in that space, that center, that calmness. And so I stayed there. That was my guidance. And then through that process, the thought came in about the tablets, right? The calcium tablets. So, but it was through being detached in the first place. If I had been all caught up in the scenario, all worried, all fearful, I would have probably missed all of that guidance. Keep your mind empty. It's like they're saying the same thing in different ways now. When you empty your mind by forcibly interrupting your thoughts and feelings, you allow other people's thoughts to reach you and your own intuition to speak to you. Now, what's interesting here is the word forcibly. And I can say that I probably would not use that word because I think the word forcibly is too easily misinterpreted. You know, what I don't want to do is repress my thoughts. You know, so if I'm having thoughts, you know, about any worry, you know, thoughts about money, that's a common worry, thoughts about money. And there's like, oh my God, I'm not supposed to be thinking about this, but there's like a judgment behind it and I repress it. That's not at all helpful. But I do want to be vigilant. I think vigilant is a better word than forcibly. I do want to be vigilant. And every time I catch myself worrying about the money again, I want to say, okay, I remember I don't want to be caught up in the worry. I want to be, you know, in the space. And so I'm going to let this go and maybe, you know, say my mantra again or whatever practice you're using to help you stay in the space. So vigilant is the word I would use instead of forcibly. I think it's, easier to hear that word and not misinterpret it. But I totally agree that you want to vigilantly interrupt your thoughts, right? And replace them with space in your mind, right? Go back into openness, vigilantly, over and over and over again. The ninth tip, be honest. Intuition is a higher faculty. Its source is the higher intelligence, which functions well when you are pure and when you are honest and truthful to yourself and others. Barb, you're here. I think you're here. Your name is here. Oh, never mind. I got the answer. Robert Adams. I was going to ask you, who's that teacher you're reading? Robert Adams. In Robert Adams' book, one of the students asks him, you know, how do you know when you select a guru that you're going to get a sincere guru? Because, of course, we all know there are gurus out there who really have self-interest. You know, they're not sincere gurus. And so he asked Robert Adams, how do you know when you go to select a guru that you're going to get a sincere guru? And the answer that Robert Adams gave him was, you be sincere yourself. And maybe, Susan, this is where we're going back now to your law of attraction a little bit. You be sincere yourself, because you will attract sincerity if you are sincere, right? Well, you will also attract intuition if you are disinterested in dishonesty, disinterested in the mind, disinterested in your stories. If you're just interested in intuition, you will attract intuition. Right? If you are interested in accepting the atonement for yourself, you will attract everything that is helpful to accepting that atonement, which definitely includes intuition. But you have to be really, really honest. You know, a lot of people say, you know, I want to awaken, or I want to accept the atonement for myself. But what they're really concerned with is, I want a romantic relationship. I want money. I want yada, 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 yada. And again, if those are the things you want, what you're going to attract is all of the mind's solutions and all of the mind's problems and all of the mind's stuff. You're going to attract lots and lots of mental energy because you are in the realm of ego, and ego is going to respond. If what you want to attract is intuition, then you want to move into its realm. And you want the things that you know intuition would guide you to want. You want to be sincere. You want to be self-honest, right? You want to be inner-focused. When you want the things that intuition would want, you're going to attract intuition. When you want the things that mind would want, you're going to attract mind. So if you're saying, the voice I want to hear is intuition, well, you already know the things that intuition would guide to some degree. So start doing those things. Start wanting those things and let go of all of the desires that really come from mind. And you will begin to attract a clearer and clearer intuition because you're stepping into its realm. Okay, let's see. The next, number 10, feel oneness with the universal self. You are an integral part of God's universal body. You may think yourself a separate entity, but you are an inseparable part of the supreme self and the universal mind. I'd like to remind everyone, I am reading from a Hindu website. Right? Hindu? Yeah. You are an integral part of God's universal body. You may think yourself a separate entity, but you are an inseparable part of the supreme self and the universal mind. When you identify yourself with the universal mind and feel connected to the universal mind, your intuition flourishes greatly. So this is a very similar law of attraction thought, right? If I identify with the personal self and I care about the personal self's concerns, again, I'm going to attract mind because I'm in mind's realm. But if I identify with the universal self, right, not the personal self, you can't identify with both at the same time. You can say, you know, I want the higher good for everyone, when really you're still thinking about the personal self. You can say one thing and be doing another, but you can't actually be doing both at the same time. So if you are disidentifying with the personal self and identifying with the universal self, again, you're now stepping into intuition's realm. It's as if the more you think about me, 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 and my children, my family, my, you know, the more you think about me and my, the more you're saying, mind, please speak to me, right? The more you think about me and my, the more you're saying, mind, please speak to me. And it will. But the more you're focused on contemplation, the more you're focused on self-realization, the more you're focused on universal self, as they're wording it here, the more you're saying, intuition, be my guide. And it will as well. So you want to pay attention to which one are you truly inviting. Are you asking mind to speak to you, or are you asking intuition to be your guide? Not in what you say, but in what you do. And by do, I mean what you're doing with your mind. What are you thinking about? Me, 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 my? Or is your heart focused in contemplation throughout the day? Awareness watching awareness, possibly, right? Focusing on spiritual practice, remaining detached, letting go of thinking. You know, where are you? Because you're calling to one of those two voices, and the one you call to will answer. The next tip, practice yoga and meditation. Again, like I said, I'm reading from a Hindu website, so they would definitely say yoga and meditation. I would add to that contemplation, inspirational reading, you know. Sometimes for some people, even being still with music. But, you know, practice your spiritual practices that bring you into the stillness of mind. They say practice yoga and meditation. They purify your mind and body and let you experience peace and stability, which are necessary to experience intuition. So I would just expand that beyond yoga and meditation, but I totally agree. Again, if you want to attract intuition, then live your life in the way intuition would guide. Even if you don't hear it yet, you know how intuition would guide. Live your life in that way, and you will attract intuition. Suspend your judgment is tip number 12. You are more intuitive when you are free from judgment, prejudice, and preconceived notions. Therefore, stop being critical and judgmental. There we go. Just stop it. Easier said than done. But what you can do is notice when you're judging, and then you can change your mind. I call it take it back. So I will notice that my mind is judging someone. I'm, you know, pre-deciding who they are. And I say, wait a minute. I take that back. You know, just, you know, kind of like an undo button. Click on undo. I take it back. I don't know who this person is. So, you know, do what you can to let go of your judgments instead of believing the judgments when they show up. Because the less you are judging, the more you are open to intuition. The more you judge, the more you think you already know, and you're closing down from intuition. Tip number 13, minimize your expectations. Don't anticipate. Live in the present and flow with the flow of life. Absolutely, stay in the now. Just stay in the now. Learn to just be. The more you can just be, the more you will be moved by intuition. The more attachments and desired outcomes that you have, the more you're going to be run by mind. Again, if you're in the realm of mind, you're going to be run by mind. So what you want to do through practice is step into the realm of intuition. And just be is a perfect way to do that. Just be with whatever is happening now. You know, just be has nothing to do with the body. The body can do anything. Just be has to do with an inner state. I called it the space while ago, or the center. Right? Learn to just be all the time. And the more you just be, the more you'll be moved by intuition. You'll recognize intuition. You'll know. You'll know when suddenly you're moved out of the chair to the grocery store. That didn't come from you. That was the universe. I mean, you'll know it because you weren't sitting there thinking, oh my God, I got to go to the grocery store. I got to do this. I got to do that. You know, you were just open to wherever the motivation came from, open to follow it wherever it goes. There's like a little bit of a line from a past message that appeared in my head, but it didn't appear in my head well enough for me to grab a hold of it. But the image, that there was like a picture image that came with it, and the picture image was of a tumbleweed blowing in the wind. You know, when that tumbleweed is a plant that's really rooted in the ground, or if you take another plant, for example, that's firmly rooted in the ground, the wind can't blow it, right? So you have to be willing to lift up your roots, which are all of your attachments, all of your outcomes, all of your ideas of how things should be. Then you become the tumbleweed. And then the wind, which is intuition, can blow you anywhere it wants to blow you. But it can only blow you if you let go of your roots. Let's see. Tip number 14, express gratitude whenever you receive help from intuition. Absolutely. Because what we have gratitude for expands. So be grateful as hell every time you recognize intuition. And when you don't judge yourself. Just, you know, look and see if there's anything to learn. But be grateful as hell every time you recognize intuition, and the more you'll recognize it. Number 15, very important, avoid the urge to control. Free your mind from anxiety about your future and the urge to control your life and destiny. Do what you can and leave the results to God, with the understanding that while you can control your actions, you have no control over the outcome of your actions. Again, this is kind of the space I was in with the potential bed bug scene, right? I didn't know whether there were bed bugs or not. And so I, you know, looked up information. I got knowledge, but I stayed in this space of, I don't know, it's hard to describe. It was a space of not panicking, a space of not thinking. There was definitely no taking control. It was just following the moment by moment and staying calm, staying in the space, staying open. And in the end, when I did everything that I could do on my own, you know, what I came to was I have no idea what to do. And that's when I asked for help, and the help came, right? The help came in a dream. And it's like, I have no idea what to do next. Did everything I could do. So it doesn't mean that you won't do things. But there's a difference between doing things in a detached manner and trying to control. Let's see, we're almost out of time, and I think a lot of this is getting repetitive. So we only have three more. Number 16, let go of your fears. We've talked about that over and over. Slow down is number 17. In our fast-paced lives, we fail to notice many things which are important and have value and relevance to our lives. Slow down whenever possible and take a deeper look at yourself and your surroundings. I think slow down is really the same thing as stay in the present. Stay out of the mind, right? Slow down. Stay in the present. Stay out of the mind. Again, be in the realm of intuition. Follow those basic guidances that you know intuition would give you if you could hear it. Follow those basic guidances anyway, and then you will begin to hear it. Again, with the bed bug thing, before I had the dream that told me to stay in meditation, I already knew that. I was already staying calm, staying detached, staying in meditation. I was already doing that. The dream just reinforced it, you know? So you don't have to hear guidance to know guidance. You know these things. Everyone in this room knows these things. It's just a matter of actually practicing them. So follow the guidance that you know you would hear if you could hear guidance. Stay calm. Stay out of the mind, right? Let go of your fears. Let go of your judgments. All these most important guidances. And when you follow them, then, you know, the current motivation, current intuition that needs to happen for specific situations will happen. So let's word it this way. Live by general guidance and specific guidance will come. Live by the general guidance that applies in all situations and the specific guidance will come. That's probably the best thing you can do for yourself. And then the very last tip here is maintain a journal. And this is so, again, you can learn from your mistakes. And start tuning in better and better to that intuition, noticing, you know, oh, I freaked out a little bit there. I didn't hear the guidance when I let go of freaking out. Then I did get this. And that's just so you can pay more attention and learn from yourself better. But I would say the last thing I just want to leave you with, just as the final closing to this, is live by general guidance. If you live by general guidance, you will receive specific guidance. And with that said, I'm turning the mic over to Christopher. Everybody have a great day.